All right. Hello, everyone. Welcome into the Lifetime Podcast. Today, we have a wonderful guest that I've been wanting to get on here for quite some time. If you're anywhere from the Opelika, Auburn area, you've known this name. He's been the mayor here for quite some time. It is Mayor Gary Fuller. Mayor, how are you doing?
Hey, I am absolutely fabulous, Matthew, and great to be with you, and thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. So I want to get started here by just, if you will, just give us a general overview of your career.
Well, now, Matthew, at the risk of boring your listeners, I'm glad to do that. You know, I grew up in Dayton. When I graduated, I moved to Pensacola, and I had a couple of brothers there working for a company called Chemstrand. Worked for them about 3 years, and thought that maybe I needed to get some additional education, and applied to Southern Union. This back at the time when they only had one campus, and that was the one in Wadley. So I moved home to Dayton and commuted to Southern Union at Wadley every day, and worked in the afternoons at Fuller Ford. Hugh Dean was some kind of cousin of mine. This was in 1964, and I was a Barry Goldwater supporter. It was going to be my first presidential election in November. So I went over one afternoon to Alex City. They had a Goldwater headquarters over there, and I went over to get some more literature and bumper stickers to pass out on campus, and I happened to park in front of the old radio station, and I said, I wonder if they need any help on the weekends. So I got my stuff, and I walked upstairs, and the young lady said, can I help you? And I said, well, I'm looking for the owner or the boss. And she said, well, he's not here right now, and could someone else help you? And I said, well, I don't know. I said, I'm looking for a part-time weekend job. And there was a guy over there on a typewriter, and he stood up, introduced himself. It was Henry Waits. And Henry said, where do you work? And I said, well, I work part-time at Fuller Ford. I found out later Fuller Ford was a major customer of Henry's in the radio station. And I said, I'm a student at Southern Union. He said, well, as a matter of fact, we do need some part-time help. So what radio stations have you worked for? And I said, well, never worked for a station. In fact, I've never really been in a radio station. And he said, well, you know, you have to have a third-class FCC license. I said, oh, I got one of those. And he said, what? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, let me take you over to Carlisle Drug and buy you a Coke. And then Mr. Whiteley, who was the general manager, will be back shortly. And we go walk over to Carlisle. And he said, how'd you get a third class license and you've never worked at it? I said, well, when I was living in Pensacola, I'd taken my date home one night. And I was coming back home. I was living out at Pensacola Beach, and there was a guy from WBSR doing a remote broadcast at Chick's Barbecue. And this is about midnight, and he had girls around him about five deep. And I thought, man, isn't that cool? So I said, I bet you that's fun. So I drive right on down to the radio station. They were located there on Palafox. I knock on the door. Guy came to the door. Can I help you? And I introduced myself. I said, I'm Gary Fuller, and I'm about to get in the radio business, and I wanted to come in and see your setup. He said, man, it's midnight. You can't come in here. And he said, well, you have to go to school. You have to learn all this stuff. And then he said, you have to have a third-class FCC license. I said, okay. Well, that very night, Matthew, I go home, and before I go to bed, I write a letter, and this is about what it was. Dear FCC, I want to be a radio announcer. What do I need to do? And I send it to the FCC, Washington, D.C. Now, amazing. They got the letter, and they responded. And they told me that I needed to pass elements 1, 3, and 9. There was an FCC field office in Mobile. So you know what? I did that. I passed, and I got the little official looking FCC license. So anyway, long story short, they were desperate for some help at WRFS, so they hired me for a weekend gig. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would spend my adult career in the radio business, but that's exactly what happened. From there, I went up to Tuscaloosa, worked there, and then had probably the best thing that ever happened to me in my career is a guy named Julius Towson had hired me in Selma to be his program director, and I moved to Selma, and that started a long-term friendship with Julius Towson, and he was my mentor and always a great friend. And then I moved down to Atmore, which was it was and is a wonderful community. Great people in Atmore. While in Atmore, before moving to Atmore, I had met my future wife and Laura, who was a tennis professional and a teaching tennis pro. And just to fast forward, we sold those stations in 1984, and I took my little cut of that, and Laura and I bought what was then WAOA and WFRI in Opelika, Auburn. And we operated those radio stations till Root Communications came along in 1998, informed me that they could do this better than I could, and they had the money to prove it. And you know what they did? And so they took me out of that business in December of 1998. So that was a wonderful career, and I still have many, many friends in the radio business. And our stations, thanks to the great people we had working there, won a lot of awards for news and sports and editorials, and we were the first stations in Alabama to win a National Association of Broadcasters Crystal Award for community service. And I'm still proud of that. It was not me that won that. It was the great people that we had working there. At the time, it was Carmel Thomaston was our news director. A lot of people that you know that are still around that were part of those stations, Andy Burcham, Barry McKnight, Roy Harrison, really a who's list of very talented people that I had the great honor and privilege of working with. So that got me to 1998, Matthew, and I thought I was going to be a consultant, and I wasn't very good consultant. Number one, I didn't want to work. And I wanted to play golf, and I did about 4 or 5 days a week. Good for my golf game, drove my wife crazy. But in 2000, my friend Tom Bryan was the Ward 4 city council member and on the Opelika City Council, and Tom decided he was not going to run. But I ran for the city council. I've always believed in community service and thought that'd be a way I could serve the community. And so had a great opponent. My friend Ira Silverman ran against me, and I had a poor campaign manager and got elected. In 2003, I made an appointment with the mayor, Barbara Patton, and came up and met with Barbara and told her that in August of 2004, I was going to run for mayor, and had it on my heart to come tell her that, and I did, and it was nothing personal. I just had different ideas of how city government ought to function, and so Barbara and I ran against each other in 2004, and I was fortunate to be elected. Had an opponent in 2008, Rainer Meadows. I was fortunate to prevail. That did not have an opponent in 2012, which is the best way to run. Then in 2016, Lee County Commissioner John Andrew Harris was my opponent, and we beat John pretty bad. I think we got 79% of the vote. So that brings us to 2020. I am going to be a candidate for re-election in August of this year, And I'm asking folks if they'll rehire me for one more term. And I've already told our leadership, Matthew, that if the good Lord doesn't take me out before 2024, I'm going to take myself out if the people will rehire me. And that will be five. If I get reelected, it'll be five terms. That's 20 years. That's enough. We got some great young folks and that can serve as mayor, probably do a better job than I've done. And but there's still a few things I want to get accomplished. And I want to build a new library. I want to renovate the Covington Recreation Center. I want to continue to improve our transportation. I want to continue recruiting high-paying jobs to our community. And so we've still got some things to do, and I'm proud of what we've done together. And, of course, right now we're together trying to get through this COVID-19 stuff. So, boy, that's a lot of information, Matthew, and I hope everybody hadn't tuned out. But that's kind of me.
Yeah. So I'd like to kind of backtrack here a little bit and sort of go back to the very, very beginning. All the way back to your childhood, you said you grew up in Dadeville. I'd really like to know, what do you think was your biggest lesson from childhood?
That's a wonderful question, Matthew. And I think it was this. We grew up very poor. My dad was a hard-working guy, ran a small dry cleaning business. My mother, and of course, may both of them rest in peace. My mother worked in the cotton mill in Opelika. She worked a third shift at what us locals call the old mill. That was on First Avenue, very near to where Piggly Wiggly is today. She worked the third shift. She did not have much education. Neither of my parents did. They could certainly read and write. But it was, I'm sure for my mother, it was a minimum wage job, and it was very hard work. And I can remember her coming home in the mornings. And she never drove. She never got a driver's license. So she rode with some folks to come to the old mill. But she'd have a head full of lint in her hair and very, very tough. And we grew up in a two-room house. My two older brothers were grown and gone, but it was me, my sister, our only sister, Katie, and our youngest brother, Ronnie, and my mom and dad. That was with outdoor facilities. So I learned what it was like to be poor, and I thought one day, wouldn't it be nice if I could have a little success? And that motivated me to work hard. You know, I was always fearful if I didn't work hard that I might wind up back in Dadeville. There was a cotton mill in Dadeville, and I had friends that worked there. And let me tell you something, the textile mills in Opelika, Dadeville, the Valley, Alex City, they fed a lot of families. And I am so grateful that they were in business for my mom and for a lot of my friends as parents and for a lot of my friends. And they bought a lot of houses, a lot of groceries, and educated a lot of children. But I was fearful that I might wind up with a minimum wage job working at the cotton mill, you know, which probably would not have been the worst thing in the world. I could have wound up with no job, but that kind of motivated me to try to do something. And there's, as my mentor, Julius Talton, told me one time, is, you know, if you're going to get ahead in this world, you need the good Lord and W-O-R-K. So hard work and the good Lord is a pretty good combination.
So, kind of on that note, I was really interested in knowing, I know you attend, I believe it's First United Methodist, if that's correct. How has your faith impacted your day-to-day life as mayor?
It is very, very important to me and to my family. Laura has a very close spiritual walk with the Lord, much closer than I do. But I believe in the power of prayer, and I pray often for our community, for our state, for our nation, for people. And I try to pray for people by name, because I know that if God knows the sparrow and knows the hair on your head, he certainly knows your name. So my faith is very important. And I tell you, the last few weeks, I have really missed being in a worship service with other Christians. And it'll be particularly tough. And I think it's tough for all Christians. You know, we got Palm Sunday coming up, followed by Easter Sunday. And you know, we're Easter people. You know, the resurrection was the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And for our Savior Jesus Christ to be resurrected, and because he lives, there's hope for all of us. So listen, I let me say this about faith. I believe, folks ask me about Opelika being successful as a community. I'm convinced that our strong families of faith in Opelika have had a whole lot to do with our success. And we've got wonderful churches, wonderful pastors. We've got thousands of Christians. And listen, we've got other folks that are not Christians that are important to our community as well. I'm not just singling out Christians as being important, but I happen to be one. But so yeah, my faith is very, and listen, I know folks, and we're asking folks not to congregate in groups larger than 10 at the moment, and I know that's tough. It's tough for me, but and I know that God will take care of us, but he did give us some sense, and we're supposed to do some things using our common sense. And, you know, knowing that God will take care of you, I can just about promise you, if you walk out on I-85 right now and step in front of an 18-wheeler that's doing 70 miles an hour, God will take care of you, and in just a couple of minutes, you'll be face-to-face with him. And he might ask you, why didn't you step in front of that tractor-trailer rig? So, anyway, we need to use some good sense, and then we got to trust God. And I know that I do. And in fact, let me say this. God has done for me what I couldn't do for myself. And he does that for many of us, and in fact, for all of us.
I know this is a very big question, but what would be your favorite memory from all of your years in radio?
Wow. I'll tell you one that stands out. And I've got a tape of it somewhere, and I'm trying to think of the year. I think it was 1981 or 1982. In Atmore, I was doing the play-by-play for the Escambia County High School Blue Devils, and we played the state championship football game. I can't remember if we were in 4A or 5A, but we won that game. And one of the guys on there was Ron Middleton, who came to Auburn, was a tight end for Coach Dye, and then played in the pros with the Redskins and I think the Falcons. And I think Ron is now an assistant coach. He had been at Duke, and I think now he's with the pros, maybe with the Miami Dolphins. But I think that that memory of the Blue Devils winning the state championship was certainly a highlight. And there's been so many, Matthew, it's hard to single out one. I tell you, another wonderful memory was at midnight on February 28th of 1985. Laura and I closed the deal to buy the radio stations on February 1st, 1985. So I'd already done some preliminary work. We changed the call letters, and we had determined we were going to change the formats. So WFRI FM 97.7, we were going to change it to country. and the call letters were WKKR 97.7 Kicker FM. And when we signed on the next morning, that's what we signed on with. And I'm sure that some of our college students over at Auburn University, late at night, maybe they've been drinking a few cold beers or some other stuff. And they, all of a sudden, they hear that country song come on. They must have thought, man, we got to hold some bad stuff here. But, you know, the Kicker is still country. They still have basically the same logo. Matthew 15:20 has changed a couple of times. In fact, I changed it once about a year after we signed on. We were not doing as well financially with the oldest format. There was no one serving the African-American market in Opelika or Auburn, so we changed to an urban format, and I made one of the great hires. I hired Richard LeGrand, and Richard is still there today and has been there now for 34 years and does a magnificent job. And so, but that at March 1st, 1985 is a wonderful memory as well.
So, of course, after your time at radio, you then transitioned pretty much straight into being the mayor. And so, another big kind of encapsulating question, what would be your biggest lesson from your time as mayor?
What a great question, Matthew. You know, I think the impression is that I think most folks that work for the city, the vast majority of them, want to do a great job. I used to think government workers, you know, you got one working and three leaning on a shovel. And that's not true. Our folks really work hard. We have about 350 people with the city, and they do a tremendous job every single day. And we've got the greatest department heads. We've got great, great people, Matthew. I remember a few years ago, Tom Whiteley had called me to attend the Opelika Kiwanis Club as a guest, and Dale Morris, the pro tem of the Senate, was going to be there that day. And Coach Dye was there, and Coach Dye was sitting at another table. And after it was over and I was leaving, I heard somebody say mayor, and I turned around, it was Coach Dye, and He started bragging on me about he'd been watching Opelika for the last X number of years and talking about how much we had done and how far we'd come. And I listened to that for a couple of minutes and I said, you know, Coach, I really appreciate that. I mean, you know, who doesn't like for somebody to brag on them? But I said, Coach, let me tell you something. It's just like when you were winning those championships at Auburn. You were the head coach. You had great players. You had great assistant coaches. You had great support staff. You had tutors. You had medical people. You had a team. I said, that's the same way it works in Opelika. I've got a great city council led by Council President Eddie Smith, Patsy Jones, the pro tem. And I said, we've got great department heads. So, you know, I'm just a small part of the team. And, you know, I think, Matthew, that teamwork is best and teamwork. And, you know, if you don't really care who gets the credit, I think you get a lot more stuff done. And in my case, all these folks deserve the credit. I'm not just pulling their leg by giving them credit. They deserve the credit because they do magnificent work. And I'm so proud of them and so thankful for what they do every single day for the citizens of Opelika. Matthew, I remember my very first staff meeting. I said, I want to tell you all who the boss is. And I'm sure some of them sitting there thinking, all right, here it comes. Here's this guy that's going to give us the boss bill. I said, first of all, I'm not the boss. The city council is not the boss. The citizens of Opelika, they're the boss. That's who all of us work for. That's who we're here to serve, are the citizens of Opelika. And I said, don't ever forget that. And it's not me and it's not the council, it's our citizens. And that's who we serve and that's who we're supposed to serve. And we need to do what's in their best interest every single day.
You kind of mentioned there something that piqued my interest was the fact that you have people like Coach Dye now that you're the mayor coming up and recognizing you. When you became mayor, was there any adjustment to fame? Was there any adjustment that you had to make in yourself when you became mayor? Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
I sure can, man. You're talking about an adjustment. Good Lord. You know, Matthew, at Fuller Broadcasting, and we decided something this morning. We would either be doing it this afternoon or tomorrow. I didn't have to check with anybody. I'd ask some of my key guys like Buxton, Van Cure, Richard, John Bodiford, some of those guys, what do y'all think about this? And if they liked it, sometimes they wouldn't like it. We did it anyway. But, it wasn't this process. Well, I get down here, now there's certain things the mayor can do. And then there's a lot of things that the mayor's got to have city council approval to do. I was working early on. We didn't have a city administrator. We were without a city administrator. And I was spending 60, 70 hours a week here trying to get my arms around this thing and trying to learn how everything worked. And then had a lot of help from different folks. And we made it through. But yeah, I think the speed of getting things done was the real shocker to me early on.
I want to transition a little bit more away from your work life and more into your home life. You talked a little bit earlier about being a father, and so I was very interested to know what lessons you learned from your time of being a father.
Matthew, the greatest thing that has ever happened in my life was the birth of my two children. Jenny Fuller, born September 1st, 1985. Her brother Gary Jr., born July 3rd, 1988. I was there for both. You know, I helped, as I tell folks, I helped Dr. Tommy Chase deliver Jenny, and I helped Dr. Bill Golden deliver Gary. Now, how much help I really was, I don't know about that. But I'm so grateful to Laura. Laura and I on March 15th, just a week or so ago, we have been married for 40 years.
Oh, wow. And congratulations.
Thank you. Laura has been a tremendous influence on me in many, many ways. And she is an outstanding person. And, of course, best thing she did was become the mother of two wonderful, wonderful children.
All right. So last question here before we part ways. You have been in Opelika for numerous years. You've been on numerous boards. You've been so involved in the city. You've led the city now for about two decades. What would you say is your favorite part about the city?
I think the favorite thing has to be the people. We have wonderful people who live in Opelika. And people do make the difference. And Matthew, one thing that I do encourage folks, and this is just a personal thing with me, you know, we're all going to leave this place at some point in time, and I hope for you and me both it's a long, long time. But we don't know that, but it's inevitable. In fact, it is just a matter of time before we both leave, and we'll be like Elvis, we will have left the building. But I'm trying to make a small difference. I want, when I leave here, I want someone to say, you know, old Gary made a small difference in the life of our community. Now, if every one of us in the community said, you know what, I just want to make a small difference in the life of my community, in my church, in my business, in my school, in my family, in organizations that I'm a part of, if all of us said, I just want to make a small difference, then think of what kind of community we would live in. But the greatest thing about Opelika are the people. And that's always made the difference. We have wonderful people that live here. They're generous, they're caring, they're kind. It all gets back to people.
Yes, sir, absolutely. Well, again, this has been Mayor Gary Fuller, the mayor of Opelika. Thank you for your time. You've been very generous for it, and thank you for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure, Matthew. Thanks for having me.
All right, well, this has been the Lifetime Podcast. You can find our other episodes on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, and Stitcher. And I don't usually like to promote my own thing, because this really wasn't a podcast for making money, but if you are a supporter of all things about sharing other people's journeys, then I have put a Patreon link down in the description. You can support what we're doing here at Lifetime, if that's a decision you'd like to make. And it can be any amount, $5, $10 a month. That is completely up to you. But again, a huge thanks to Mayor Gary Fuller. We have some wonderful guests up in the future. We've had some wonderful guests, whether their names you recognize or not. Everybody on here has had a wonderful, unique, and powerful story. So I hope you all will go take a listen to those. All right, well, for the time being, I will see you all next time. God bless, and goodbye.